is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Verbal blasting back and forth between President Trump and California Governor Gavin Newsom among several Democrats angry at the president, sending hundreds of Marines and thousands of National Guard troops to protests of immigration raids in Los Angeles. The president.
I think it would have been a very bad situation. It was heading in the wrong direction. It's now heading in the right direction.
Referencing talk by some officials of arresting Gavin Newsom for trying to obstruct law enforcement, the California governor.
Just get it over with. Arrest me. Move on.
Governor on the Midas Touch podcast. The L.A. protests spreading, demonstrations last night in Dallas and Austin, Texas. Few details so far of several people killed at a school in the Austrian city of Graz today, says the Interior Ministry. Several dead and injured, but they say that the gunman is dead. Firing every member of a scientific committee that advises the CDC on vaccines, Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. A bridge crossing the Mississippi River to the south of La Crosse is open once again. The Blackhawk Bridge, which takes motorists from Wisconsin to Lansing, Iowa, reopened Monday morning. It was closed on May 17th due to one of its piers moving, but Iowa DOT officials said the bridge is safe to cross. The DOT said that it is planning future closures due to construction of the 94-year-old bridge's replacement, which is set to open in 2027. The current bridge was also closed last year for nearly 2 months for emergency repairs. There are three committee meetings today in city government. One of those is a city council planning meeting about the city's budget building process tonight. Tomorrow, the city administrator work group will meet. Thursday is the common council meeting where resolutions on the final steps needed for the school district of La Crosse to begin work on two elementary schools will be decided, as well as a pair of proposals that would raise the stormwater utility fee twice in the next 7 months and again each of the following 3 years. Who will run for governor next year? The current governor isn't ready to announce his plans yet. With more, here's Civic Media's Joanne Krulak.
A breakdown in negotiations over a tax cut and other spending measures in Wisconsin threatens to put the 2026 race for governor on hold, with the Democratic incumbent saying he won't announce his decision on seeking a third term in the swing state until after a budget deal is done. Wisconsin is poised to be in the national political spotlight again next year, with the race for governor and a fight over control of the legislature.
Currently, only two candidates have officially declared their candidacy. Republican Josh Shulman and Democrat Zachary Roper are the first two in the mix. Sunny skies today, but rain is on the way. Highs will reach the 80s in most places across the Coulee region today. Clouds begin moving in overnight with slight chances of showers tomorrow. Highs will top out around 80 degrees. Better chances at precipitation begin overnight Wednesday into Thursday and again Thursday through Friday night. Temperatures will stay in the 70s throughout the rest of the week before bouncing back into the 80s over the weekend. We'll have more details in our Civic Media forecast. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The Packers move on.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers minicamp is underway after releasing Jair Alexander. That leaves them with Keyshawn Nixon and Carrington Valentine at defensive back. Team president Mark Murphy asked how he feels about that.
I feel pretty good. I think Keyshawn Nixon, a great story. He's undrafted. Yeah. All-pro returner. And the reality is, for like the last 4 years, Jair's about half of the games he's been able to play. So, you know, kind of, we've been used to it.
Baseball. The Brewers play the Braves again tonight at AmFam Field. The Crew losing last night 7-1. Basketball. Game 3 of the NBA Finals tomorrow night in Indianapolis. The Thunder beating the Pacers Sunday to tie the series at one game apiece. Oshkosh native Tyrese Halliburton asked about game 2 being more physical with fewer fouls called.
You know, the officials to, you know, let us play a little bit more. You know, so just got to do a better job. How to be better earlier in games.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be quite a bit warmer today, mostly sunny with a high in the upper 70s to near 80 this afternoon. Tonight, clear with a low down to around 60. Tomorrow, sunshine with late day and nighttime showers and thunder showers. And once again, a high in the upper 70s to near 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
Here's the deal. We gotta set ourselves up. See, retirement is the long game. We gotta make moves and make them early. Set up goals. Don't worry about a setback. Just save up and stack up to reach them. Let's put ourselves in the right position. Pre-game to greater things.
Start building your retirement plan at thisispretirement.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
State Senator Kelda Royce.
The vast majority of people on Medicaid are already working, and it is Medicaid that makes it possible for them to work. People who are disabled or have chronic illnesses and without that health care, they would be out of the workforce. They would have no ability to participate in the economy, and now they can. Medicaid is one of the greatest workforce programs this country has ever built, and they are trying to dismantle it, and with it, they're going to take people's lives and economic security.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station, and on the app, Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, Milwaukee film critic Matt Miller joins me to talk new movies. Then producer, director, editor, and Wisconsinology founder Frank Anderson joins the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. Eagle, 1490 AM.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Tuesday morning, June 10th, 2025. It's another beautiful morning to have you here up north. Live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're spending your mornings, listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, on the Civic Media app, watching us on YouTube or Facebook, not Twitter. I tried to put the stream on Twitter, but it says you need a premium account. Yeah, that's not happening. So thanks for starting your day right here, wherever you're catching us. Parker Olson is standing by in Madison Studio A2. After we talked to John and Gordy yesterday in A1, we understood that there is a difference. There is.
Very important.
The big studio down the hall from Mr. Olson. So I've got a question for you this morning. What's the over-under on young Mr. Olson and when he starts becoming a coffee drinker? Because somebody was teasing me before the show about, you know, who's awake and who's not and who's had their coffee and who doesn't. And if you've missed it earlier, Parker is not yet a coffee drinker. I'm not one to cast stones not being a coffee drinker till I was just about 50, but my over-under, I'm going to take the under on that one as far as when Parker goes all in on the the bean juice.
Yeah, the under is probably a good call. I'm trying to see how long I can live on. National champion Parker, that's right, Tony Zimmerman.
Tony puts on YouTube, national champion Parker? Yes. It's not going to be a nickname, Tony. It's not going to stick. He gets to celebrate a national championship.
It's going to stick.
But that's it. And Tony puts in his guess, early morning radio. I think coffee is coming. Yes, that could very well be the case. And Alicia, thank you. Good morning to you. Saying Twitter is so yesterday. Oh, couldn't agree more. But she goes on to say, I'm not really a coffee drinker, and I'm almost 41. I survived the Navy without coffee. Now, that I'd like to know how that happened.
That's impressive.
That is very impressive. So already folks commenting on social media, YouTube, Facebook, but you can also do so through the Civic Media app, or at least you could if I'd open up my window. I'm doing the two-screen thing now. I started that not long ago.
Oh, so yeah?
I got a laptop over on the other side here because I couldn't fit everything on one screen. And so using the Civic Media app is a way for you to reach us as well. Or text us, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. You can email us, radio at upnorthnewswi.com. It is cloudy. It is kind of hazy, not rainy. And I wouldn't say we're free of Canadian wildfire smoke up here yet either. What are the conditions like down there in Madison?
I didn't notice any smoke today, I don't think. Okay. Might get a little rainy tomorrow. I think today is like our only day of not rain this week.
This is apparently our only day of not rain. And hopefully we'll get to talk to Brittany Merlot and get the forecast in a bit. Tom in New Berlin on the text line, ex-Navy. He says, the gravy thick coffee, yum.
So, ooh.
Now we see what did Alicia do on YouTube? She puts 4 liters of Mountain Dew a day.
That, no.
Hit the Parker, hit the button for your genuine reaction to that. 4 liters of Mountain Dew a day?
I'm sorry, what?
There it is. That's right. How do you have innards left?
Yeah, I don't think you should be alive right now.
Oh, I'm not really sure how she's processing food at this point. Although Roger from Stevens Point jumps on Facebook, 2-1 odds on Parker to consume the nectar of the gods. I don't know that I'd put my coffee in that category. I mean, I'm a pretty good barista, but, you know.
The nectar of the gods.
Tony asking Alicia, do you glow?
The room just lights up when she walks in.
I mean, again, not casting stones for the, you know, starting in college and for at least a couple of years after that, it was Mountain Dew in the morning. I just don't know that it ever got to 4 liters. So
that's a lot of Mountain Dew. That's a lot of anything.
I know. But look, she's still up early doing, you know, crazy good work. She's doing all kinds of, you know, volunteer stuff, you know, on the side. So Alicia, it's working for you. So you go. You do that do as it were. So do you glow? Alicia responds, now I wasn't a nuke, I was on the flight deck, which means she was guiding the airplanes in instead with that Mountain Dew glow. On the program today, it's an off year for elections in Wisconsin. That will not dampen the enthusiasm of delegates who are gathering this weekend in Wisconsin Dells for the state Democratic Convention. Along with celebrating another state Supreme Court victory, they will be voting on a new state chair to succeed Ben Wickler. Plus, there will be chatter about whether Governor Tony Evers will run for a third term next year. We will cover all of that and more with Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area, Civic Media Political Editor. Two of Medicaid's most vocal critics, as you know, come from Wisconsin. Senator Ron Johnson and Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, neither would hesitate to criticize or cut a program that has helped millions upon millions of Americans stay healthy for these past 60 years. The thing is, their complaints lose a lot of credibility when they can't be honest about the number of deserving, hardworking people whose health care coverage would be lost if Trump's big bloated bill passes. So we're going to review the rhetoric and again make the point that you can be opposed to Medicaid. You can say you want to get rid of Medicaid, as I'm sure Robin Voss and Ron Johnson want to do. Just don't lie when you're telling us that you're making hundreds of millions of dollars in cuts and nobody who deserves the benefits are going to have their benefits cut a nickel, as Derek Van Orden said. Because now you've crossed a line where you've lost your credibility. And we'll get one example from Medicaid Director Bill Hanna coming up during the program as well. U.S. Marines have occupied their fair share of land in their history, from the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli. And, you know, let's see, we've got the Philippines and Puerto Rico and Cuba and all of that. But President Donald Trump has a new battle plan for the United States Marine Corps, one that's wildly unconstitutional and designed for maximum division in America's second largest city. We'll talk about that a bit this morning. Community editor Christina Lurie talks about a milestone in professional hockey that puts Milwaukee front and center for celebrations of Pride Month. And Chad Holmes gives us an update on spring high school sports championships and Wausau area news. All of that coming up along the way as well. And wanted to let you know, too, that if you can't catch us live and have Spotify, you can get us that way as well. We're also on Apple, and you can listen through the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us. But if you head over to Spotify and search for Wisconsin Politics, you will find Mornings with Pat Kreitlow somewhere in there without even having to know how to spell Kreitlow correctly. You'll find it. Subscribe to it. We'd love to have you come along as a subscriber. Let's head back over to the mailbag, which started innocently enough with having, you know, Parker drinking coffee, and it led to Alicia's Mountain Dew addiction. Tony says, so like Rudolph, but green to guide the planes in. That makes sense. But now Alicia says, no, she laid off the Mountain Dew after she got out of the Navy. That's the good news. The bad news is, she says, last year it was at least 2 monsters a day. Monsters a day!
That's not as bad. No, I can comprehend 2 monsters a day far more than I can 4 liters of Mountain Dew a day. Yes. I get, like, that's like an early morning get you going, and then like mid-afternoon, you need one to get you through the day. That makes sense to me.
I don't know. I mean, isn't one of those energy drinks, I mean, has enough caffeine to bring down a horse?
Oh, I'm yeah. Sure. But
okay. Well, that's a little concerning. Tony, if you want to have a fun conversation in the chat, you need to do it live with your YouTube. And she says, hey, wait, I'm down to two Alani. What's Alani? Is that an energy drink?
I'm also not familiar with Alani.
Oh, wait, you're supposed to be my expert on all things hip and trendy here.
I'm very sorry.
No, that's okay. Tony, meanwhile, three kids under five. I've done coffee, Monster, etc. I'm not judging anybody. Understandable.
Fair enough. You know your place. Yeah. That's great.
Yep. Yep. Yesterday was the little regular visit to the dentist's office. Ooh. And I, don't get me wrong, I love doing early morning radio. I don't mind the early wake up time. Again, what is the unofficial motto of this show and why I'm doing an early morning show? The unofficial motto is, I'm waking up that early to pee anyway. I may as well get paid for it. Okay.
I didn't know that was our motto.
Yeah, I probably hadn't subjected you to that one yet. Anyway, I do try to go to bed early. Last night was a great example. 8:15. Oh, that was great. What's the word I'm looking for? Decadent. To have to close the curtains really tight, close the bedroom door, close the bathroom door so that no light gets in because the sun is still out and I'm going to bed. It's a victory. Because if I don't, like the night before when I didn't go to bed sufficiently early, I'm in the dentist chair yesterday afternoon. And the hygienist is making small talk while she's scraping and picking and scraping and picking and scrape, scrape, scrape and all that. And I figure at least a dozen times I had what you would, I don't know if you'd call it a micro nap or, just not quite dozing off, but where you have to open up your eyes because I've got, they give you little goggles and I asked for the sunglasses one. So again, it's dark. And despite one of the most annoying and sometimes painful things that can be done, I'm like, nope, I'm going to steal a little wink here and a little wink there. And that just didn't strike me as normal.
No.
But no cavities. Everything was in good shape. And you know why the teeth were in good shape? Because I stopped drinking Mountain Dew a long time ago.
Yeah.
Sorry. Should not be taking shots at our wonderful veterans like Alicia, who says, you got to remember, Navy, caffeine runs in my veins. And she says, hey, that's my motto for early morning work here, too. See, I knew I wasn't being very original on that. But it was just a good reminder to me. You got to get enough sleep. If you're falling asleep during the dental hygienist doing their thing, maybe you need to fix something about that.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. That's a pretty bad sign.
And again, for people going, well, you should fix your sleep. Like, yes, I know. Doctor's appointment in 2 weeks. We'll figure it out. The Stanley Cup playoffs, not going well for any of us who'd like to see Edmonton beat a team from Florida. The Panthers were big winners last night in Game 3, 6-1. So they've now gone up 2-1. Game 4 in the Stanley Cup Finals will be Thursday night in Miami. The NBA playoffs are tied at 1 game apiece, and that resumes tomorrow in Indianapolis. The Milwaukee Brewers, again, the Bats falling asleep against Atlanta this time, opening that 3-game series. Atlanta beating Milwaukee 7-1. Milwaukee's only run came in the third inning. Joey Ortiz hit a leadoff double and scored on a William Contreras 2-out single. But again, that's all the offense that they could muster. So they will pick it up again this evening for Game 2 of the series. And that, again, has a pregame that starts at 6:05 on several stations across the Civic Media radio network. And then tomorrow, the 3-game series wraps up with a matinee. And so tomorrow, the pregame will start at 12:35 in the afternoon. So that's tomorrow. This evening, it'll be at 6:05. Again, catch the Brewers versus Atlanta, Game 2 of that series. We'll follow some of the day's headlines coming up here in just a bit. First, from the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thank you for making this place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. We are powered by Up North News. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com to learn more and subscribe to our newsletters. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matinee on Air.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons, like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Lily Roberts, she is from the Center for American Progress Action Fund.
They're trying to pretend that this bill would be good for the working class because of this really small carve out to our tax laws. The no tax on tips piece does not at all even come close to addressing the problem of wages in this country. You know, a third of workers who work for tips in the first place don't make enough money to pay taxes at all.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Positive psychology coach Kira Sabin. It is great to have you back.
I love the idea of self-help, but there's also something called community help. We have become so divided. We've forgotten that our neighbor is really nice and makes great cookies and probably has the same concerns on a daily basis that you do. I think that we think things have changed, and I think we're just have stopped talking to each other.
Catch the Todd Albaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Snakes, zombies, public speaking, the list of fears is endless. But the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. Distracted driving is what's really scary, and even deadly. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Again, Dan Schaefer coming up a little later this morning as we talk about the upcoming state Democratic convention and some other political notes out of the Milwaukee area. One of them being the ongoing crisis of lead in the water and lead paint chips in some of the older school buildings there. And you recall, just a little over a week ago, was it that Health and Human Services Secretary Robert Kennedy Jr.? I always have to pause and do that again. Health and Human Services Secretary Robert Kennedy Jr. I mean, I got to be honest. I still, after all these years, I still find myself going, President Donald Trump? But yeah, this is the world we live in now. Health Secretary Robert Kennedy Jr. said that there was a team on the ground in Milwaukee. That was either a lie or he just was making stuff up, didn't know what he was talking about. And so the lead crisis is still an issue there, and it's still not being addressed by Kennedy's Health and Human Services Department. How do we know this? Because he's busy with other things. Kennedy yesterday removed all 17 members of a scientific committee that advises the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention on how to use vaccines. I think that deserves the Parker reaction button as well. Let me do that
again.
I'm
sorry, what?
There it is, and replaced them with his own picks. You will recall that Kennedy was one of the nation's leading anti-vaccine activists before becoming the nation's top health official. I have to say that one again, too, and I don't mean to twist the knife, but honestly. Kennedy, who was one of the nation's leading anti-vaccine activists before becoming the nation's top health official, has not said who he would appoint to the panel, but said it would convene in just 2 weeks in Atlanta. This just has, you know, WWE written all over it. Although it's typically not viewed as a partisan board, the entire current roster of committee members were Biden appointees. So why get rid of them all? Well, because Kennedy wrote, without removing the current members, The Trump administration would not have been able to appoint a majority of new members until 2028. He said a clean sweep is needed to reestablish public confidence in vaccine science. I got to read that one again. A clean sweep is needed to reestablish public confidence in vaccine science. You're right. It is better with a question mark at the end of it. A clean sweep is needed to reestablish public confidence in vaccine science? So basically, in a nutshell, the people, and no hyperbole intended here, but the people who quite literally killed tens if not hundreds of thousands of Americans through their negligence and their inability to understand science are now in charge of science. These are folks who got really unhappy about basic safeguards during the pandemic, and they came across on the news as so angry. They're so angry. Please keep in mind, media, that the people who believe in science are still equally angry, if not more so, at the damage they did to humanity and the damage they continue to do. We have measles killing people now. We have measles spreading. We have starving children in Africa literally dying because of this administration. So, you know, as much as we try to be shiny, happy people when we can, the people who were so angry about basic safeguards are now the ones running the show in the Department of Health and Human Services. What's not to get angry about? And then I see this headline as we transition to what's happening in California and with migrants and things. Headline in the Journal Sentinel. Can Trump ignore the courts? Here's what polling shows Americans think. No. No. Why would you even put that headline in there? Can Trump ignore the courts? Here's what polling shows Americans think. That's not news. That's not even remotely close to news. That's chatter. The news is a president of the United States is ignoring the courts. What should happen next? Not, well, the people that like him think he's doing a good job. Same goes for bank robbers. In the meantime, in California, Donald Trump is taking the next step in his actual insurrection. Yes, he's been referring to the folks in California as insurrectionists. The president who pardoned actual insurrectionists. This is the next step in his insurrection of the United States. He's sending another 2,000 National Guard troops along with 700 Marines to Los Angeles, escalating a military presence that local officials and the governor don't want, and the police chief says creates logistical challenges for safely handling protests. Here's what we mean by logistical challenges. If you've maybe seen the photos, Trump sent these troops in without any advance planning, without any thought on how to feed them, where they're going to sleep. You see them all laying in like storage room floors inside of buildings and things. If anybody is truly disrespecting our troops right now, it's Donald Trump, through using them, deploying them under false pretenses, ripping them away from their homes and their home bases where they could be ready for genuine emergencies, for this made up one. Over protests because of stepped up enforcement of immigration laws. And the thing that I think people did a good job pointing out yesterday is this. There are far more people who were deported in any given week under the Obama administration and under the Biden administration. More people were deported. But it didn't require the National Guard or Marines because of the way they handled it. They handled it the way law enforcement should be done, as opposed to what Trump is doing on purpose, making this a show. This is all a show. And that's why you're having Marines activated. Not yet deployed, but trust me, if one Marine sets foot on the streets of LA and has to fire a weapon, it will mark a new stain that can never be erased in American history. Keep your eyes on that. Christina Lori is on the way. Also, your Scotty Summer Text to Win contest keyword is coming up at the top of our next hour here, powered by Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network. The Midwest Farm Report is next.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
When you look around your rural community, do you think about AI? I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Tuesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. Well, you may not, or at least not now, but there are investors looking at rural communities as their source for data centers. That's the word from Jeff Johnston. He's a lead economist for infrastructure with CoBank. He says it's a remarkable development right now, and it's especially focused on rural America.
When we talk about AI, there's geopolitical implications to us in China. There are economic implications as well in terms of productivity and growth. So the stakes are enormously high. The amount of money that's being spent by the major data center companies like Amazon, Microsoft, Meta, and Google is nothing short of mind-blowing. And again, rural America is taking center stage in this AI revolution.
That's Jeff Johnston with CoBank talking about AI development data centers. And he also notes that this is closely related to the broadband gap that they're working on closing in rural America. He says if both efforts are going to succeed, infrastructure in rural communities has to play catch up. While the markets this morning look like they're trying to catch up as far as soybeans, at least, numbers and the latest crop progress report next.
Hey, got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2025 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions, with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
These cooler temperatures are definitely helping some of our Wisconsin crops. The latest update from the Wisconsin Ag Statistical Service shows as of Sunday across the state, 70% of our winter wheat was rated good to excellent. That's up 3 percentage points in a week. Looks like 88% of our oats in good to excellent condition, also up 3 percentage points. And the all hay condition this week, 81% good to excellent, up 3 percentage points. Markets in overnight electronic trade for a Tuesday morning. Right now, July corn's down 2. December new crop down 2 at 4.36. July soybeans currently 3 cents higher. November new crop up a penny at 10.31. July wheat down 4 at 5.38. 40-pound block cheese on Monday was up 2.25 at 1.88. The AA butter dropped a half a cent to 2.55 a pound. The July Class 3 milk that goes into cheese currently up 6 at 1888 a hundredweight. I am Farm Director Pam Yonke.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
It is going to be quite a bit warmer today, mostly sunny with a high in the upper 70s to near 80 this afternoon. Tonight, clear with a low down to around 60. Tomorrow, sunshine with late day and nighttime showers and thundershowers. And once again, a high in the upper 70s to near 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
The soap scientists have found a way to incorporate Sydney Sweeney's actual bathwater into the soap. What if she doesn't smell good? I know she's beautiful.
What if it smells terrible?
What if she stinks? And no one is going to tell her that because she's Sydney Sweeney. Here's an open invitation to Sydney Sweeney. Come by the Nightlight Studios. I'll smell you and let you know if this is a good product.
Maybe drop off, you know.
And give us a few bucks. Yeah.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presumed innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as we take a look at the fast-paced headlines across the nation and state. And a lighter note, Brian Van Hooker from Cracked.com will be here. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Welcome back. 6:35, Pat Kreitlow in Chippewa Falls, Parker Olson in Madison, Christina Laurie joining us in a moment, and folks watching us on social media will see that we've got a website on the bottom of the screen there that says upnorthnewswi.com/sports-newsletter, sports-newsletter, and that's something Christina's going to be talking to us about in just a bit, but I did want to solve one of the Parker coffee mysteries here. Where on YouTube, Alicia said, hey, I'm down to two Alani. And then Tony asks, does Parker drink bubbler? Those have as much caffeine as a cup of coffee, according to the marketing. And then Alicia says, Alani is like bubbler.
Nope.
And Tony says, ah. But bubbler is different than, is it bubbly? The one at Michael Bublé?
Different thing.
Okay.
Different thing.
Where he wants to call it Bublé, but it's actually bubbly.
Yeah.
But it's not the same as bubbler.
Not the same.
Things that you don't want to, get the wrong one there.
Yeah.
Give it to your little kid. Here, Timmy, have some bubbler. It's just water.
Straight water, guys. Nothing but water.
But apparently not the bubbler. It's got the caffeine in there. Anyway, I mentioned the sports newsletter because Up North News is now a 7-day-a-week joint. All day, all week, you can open up your inbox and find a newsletter of some sort. The weekday ones with Wisconsin news and features, and then the Sunday morning one about Wisconsin politics that I put together. And Christina has now been putting together one related to sports. So again, upnorthnewswi.com/sports-newsletter. And she joins us now to talk more about that and then some. But we'll start, Christina, good morning, by asking where you are on the coffee versus water versus Mountain Dew dial of morning beverages. Oh, wait a minute. Sorry, Christina, didn't hit the right button. There we go. Where are you on the beverages in the morning?
I have a very unpopular opinion. I'm so boring. I only drink water. I don't like carbonation.
Yes.
I don't like coffee. I don't like alcohol.
I'm
a bore. So I'm sorry. I can't contribute a lot to this. When I did work in morning TV, mm-hmm. as adventurous as I would get, sometimes when I needed an extra jolt, I would go for some iced tea. That's about as crazy as I get.
Okay. All right. So. Sounds good. I thought Parker was reacting there. Sorry about that. let's start with a little bit of sports on a bit of a bittersweet note. Roger in Stevens Point puts on Facebook, excellent article, Christina, on Coach Pettigau. He will be missed. For folks who might have missed that story, tell us about that real quick.
Yeah, so he was the winningest coach in Wisconsin high school boys basketball history. He coached at Cuba City, small town of just about 2,000 people. The head Wisconsin men's basketball coach, Greg Gard, actually grew up going to his basketball camps. Later, he became a mentor of his. He was also really close with Bo Ryan. If anyone ever watched any of the high school boys basketball state tournaments, if Pettigau's teams were not playing and winning them, it seemed like Cuba City was frequently in that tournament.
Yes.
I believe that he ultimately won 3 state titles in his 50 years as head coach there. But, you know, even in his later years when his team didn't make it there, he would still be on the mic at those tournaments. And just everyone who I talked to that had ever come in contact with him or even just watched him, loved him. So, I mean, it reminds me of this quote that I like that says, people will forget what you did, what you said, but they'll never forget how you made them feel. Mm-hmm. And that really seems to be his legacy.
He literally put Cuba City on the map. And by that, I mean that, you know, one of the things that people like to do during the tournaments is brush up on their Wisconsin geography. And yes, there were a number of times where I, like other people, go, where's Cuba City? And you'd pull out your Rand McNally and you'd find out where that one is. Or Pecatonica was another one that people would be like, wait, what is that? Where is that? All kinds of great ways to learn about Wisconsin just through the schools and the tournament.
Absolutely. And it's funny, as coming from someone who was born and raised in Illinois, I had heard of Cuba City, and it was because they were so good at sports. So,
mm-hmm. yep. although it reminds me, we also, I always love when people are like, what's Spash? Where's Spash? Now, Spash was never used in tournament lingo for Stevens Point Area Senior High, but still the best name ever for a high school for Spash.
Oh, it took me a while to figure out what the heck that was.
I still like it to this day. Let's see. In other sports notes that I wanted to ask you about, we have an interesting intersection here of professional sports and Pride Month, and it's based out of Milwaukee, out of the hockey world.
Yes, so this isn't really a collaboration we see far too often, unfortunately. I think there are some gay professional athletes that are not out, is what I'm trying to say. But yeah. In Milwaukee, we have a really brave Milwaukee Admirals defenseman, Luke Prokop. He made history back in 2021 as the first NHL contracted player to publicly come out as gay. And then in 2023, he made history again when he officially took the ice for his first game with the Admirals, becoming the first American Hockey League's athlete to play in a game. And then just this past weekend, he served as Grand Marshal of Milwaukee's Pride Parade, which is really awesome. Mm-hmm. He received a great community welcome. And especially now, it's so important to have allies as well as really great role models in the LGBTQ community, because we see what some leaders are trying to do and trying to act like Pride Month doesn't exist. Right. So it's nice to have some you can't question that he's a man. He plays one of the most rough sports out there. And then he's out there waving the rainbow flag, which is just fantastic. It shows people everywhere you can be whoever you want to be.
Yeah, exactly. We're talking to Christina Laurie, and she puts together not just the Monday through Friday Up North News Daily newsletter, but a new all sports edition that comes out every Saturday. And I know this past Saturday, for example, you were talking about the week of streaks and how nice things had been going for the crew before this past weekend. The past few days have been a little rough here. I want to say that symbolically it started with Brandon Woodruff taking that line drive off the elbow on his way back to recovery. But
oh man, don't you feel so sorry for him? Like you couldn't script a worse comeback. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's doing everything right and he's just getting the worst luck. But really, out of all of the challenges the Brewers are having this season, pitching, I mean, you would think that that would have caused them some problems based on the number of guys they still have on injured reserve. Mm-hmm. And that's not their issue. They've been stellar with pitching. They have such a deep bench there. They just really need some offense.
Yes. Yeah. The ongoing reaction to Aaron Rodgers signing with the Steelers has been very satisfying. At no point have I ever heard anybody say, oh, we should bring him on for one last season and let him retire as a Packer or anything like that. Instead, it's more memes like, oh, finally, Aaron Rodgers gets one more chance to crush the Pittsburgh Steelers Super Bowl dreams the way he did back in 2011.
Well, I also saw an interesting stat. So history could be made in that Packers-Steelers game, because if somehow, which I hate to even say this because I don't believe it's going to happen one iota, but if the Steelers did beat the Packers, Aaron Rodgers would become the first quarterback ever to beat every team in the NHL.
NFL. NFL. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yes. Okay. So, because we know he beat every other team when he was a Packer.
Yes.
We know a lot of that history was not made these past two seasons with the Jets. So,
no.
But we have to give a shout out to our QB1, Jordan Love. He immediately, when reporters asked him what he thought of being able to finally face Aaron Rodgers, since they've never played each other professionally, he said he seemed very genuine. He said that he's looking forward to it. And he hopes they can swap jerseys after the game. So that's our guy. I'm so proud that he represents the Packers now.
Yes.
We've had some questionable morality in late recent quarterbacks. So
yes, the definite breath of fresh air, if you will. I did want to ask you to move away from sports for a second here, but I know how much you love to write about the UW and UW-Madison, and so I'm sure it was with great pride that you noted that there's a new global ranking out there. And first off, here's a little bit of trivia for folks who wondered. I didn't know this. Worldwide, how many colleges and universities are out there? How many universities? 21,462. And there is apparently an annual ranking from the Center for World University Rankings. And the headline on the article here from you is just 0.2% of universities are better than Wisconsin, according to a new global ranking. That had to feel like a good story to write up.
It did, and especially now, because it shows how interconnected all universities are, right? Like, we're on this international list. It comes at a time when our president is trying to demonize international students and limit them getting here. But they're a large reason why Wisconsin is so high on this list. Mm-hmm. Wisconsin has about 10% of its student body that are made up of international students. They bring a ton to our university. They bring a ton to our faculty. And so Wisconsin ranked very highly on that list. I don't have the list up in front of me. I think they were like around 30th.
They are 30th in the world, which yes. Again is, you know, the top 0.2% and 20th in the United States. You know, and broken down by category, it includes, and again, this is worldwide, 38th in education, 34th in faculty, 45th in research, 115th in employability, again, out of more than 20,000 universities worldwide. So again,
and you know what's interesting is that they keep climbing, because I was extraordinarily nerdy in high school, so I was very familiar with the top 50 list of American colleges. Mm-hmm. And so this was back in around 2010 when I was applying to colleges. And I didn't even apply to Wisconsin because they were not ranked high enough in my mind at the time. And instead, I went to University of Illinois. I'm from Illinois. My entire family went there. That was not really a question that I'd end up going there. But now, in the past 3 years of the U.S. News and World Report rankings, they've been tied with Illinois in those rankings. So that's really impressive that they just keep climbing up. I believe that they're going to surpass them one of these years soon.
I can totally see that. Folks want to hear and read more from Christina. Of course, we told you about the sports newsletter, the daily newsletter, but it says here on my little radio schedule that tomorrow evening in the 7 p.m. hour, you're going to be joining Pete Schwabe on his Nightlight program to talk a bit more about sports, I would imagine.
That is correct.
All right.
I'm going to be making the rounds. So I wonder how much crossover there is, though, between people who are up at this time listening to the radio and then people who are listening to the radio at 7.
Been wondering the same thing. So you get on there tomorrow evening in the 7 p.m. hour with Pete Schwabe and try to spread around the notes about getting on board this new sports newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com/sports-newsletter. Christina Laurie, thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too. Thanks so much for having me on, Pat.
You bet. Coming up next is today's history lesson, like we always do, mornings, Up North, powered by Up North News here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. You may have filled out a U.S. Census questionnaire which promised to keep your individual data private. There's concern the Trump administration or Congress may add a question about your citizenship in the 2030 census. Would you answer it? Since 1790, the U.S. has counted the, quote, whole number of free persons, not just citizens. The census has always promised anonymity to get accurate answers, and that data informs important decisions on everything from road construction to education policy to voting districts. The first Trump administration tried to add a citizenship question to the 2020 census, but it was struck down by the Supreme Court. Trump later issued an executive order entitled Executive Order on Collecting Information About Citizenship Status in Connection with the Decennial Census, a precursor to possibly not counting the whole population, but just citizens. The Biden administration rescinded it, but Trump rolled back Biden's order in January. If a citizenship question were to be added in the 2030 census, a study released in March found it would likely depress response to the questionnaire, particularly among Hispanics. Add in Trump's recent orders allowing the sharing of personal information from federal agencies with DOGE, ICE, and state agencies, the effect on the census would impact policies and congressional voting districts for years to come. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
Matt Nair on air.
Congressman Mark Pocan is here. Are you planning on going out on the road again, having a couple more town halls?
Yes. No, Claire, Derek and I have been invited by Opportunity Wisconsin, so I'm really looking forward to debating Derek. My guess is it's more likely I will sprout a head full of hair than he will show up. This is important to let people know what's in this bill, because there is a very good reason why Republicans are hiding from town halls.
Catch Matt Nair on air at its new time, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
We need a fun listener name, something the followers of the show can call themselves. I thought, how about Couch Potatoes?
Potatoes?
I said it as a joke, and Todd cracked up. He goes, I love that. Whatever it is, folks, embrace your inner couch potato. We are not meant to work in the farms and hunt food. We were 1,000 years ago. But now, I think God wants us to sit back and be entertained.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Hot Fun in the Summertime by Sly and the Family Stone. Sly Stone died on Monday. The singer, songwriter, maestro of Sly and the Family Stone had a run of hits in the late 60s and early 70s that basically redefined the big, beautiful intersection of pop, funk, rock, R&B, soul, gospel. Hits included Everyday People, Dance to the Music, I Want to Take You Higher, Family Affair, and Thank You for Letting Me Be Myself Again. Sly Stone was 82 years old today, and I believe it was John Roach, friend of ours on Facebook, who put up a clip to Sly and the Family Stone doing Doris Day's Que Sera Sera, which you think, what can you do with that? Turned it into a soul gospel version that I would highly recommend as well. So again, happy trails to Sly Stone. Let's carry on with today's history lesson, bringing in Dan Hagen from Newswatch 12, WJFW in Rhinelander. Daniel, how are you?
You hit me with the Daniel, Patrick. Good morning. And that's reserved for my mother only. So I'm
I thought that was Dan Danielle.
So my sister called me Danielle growing up because she wanted a sister so bad. But Well, here's the thing. My mom goes from Ted, Eric, Dan, because she mixes up our names.
Yes.
Yeah.
I know.
You ever get the dog's name in there? I get the dog.
Yeah, we don't have a dog, or else probably. Yeah.
I would throw the dog in occasionally just for comedic effect when I couldn't remember which name I was shouting at. Sam, Chuck, Casey, get over here. You, get over here. But Dan Hagen is with us now, and let's continue the history lesson. Happy birthday to the lead singer of the Shirelles, Shirley Owens, is 84 years old today. Thank you. This, of course, is the Carole King masterpiece, Will You Love Me Tomorrow, that she would do herself later on, but the Shirelles had it first with Shirley Owens. The United States Naval Academy graduated its first class of students. So congratulations to the Naval Academy, to Alicia and all the other Navy vets out there who I'm sure are marking the day in one way or another. On this day in 1898 in the Spanish-American War, U.S. Marines began the invasion of Spanish-held Cuba in the Battle of Guantanamo Bay. The number one song this week in 1972 is one that I wanted to play just for Dan and Parker here. You may have heard of Sammy Davis Jr. I doubt that you heard this song, especially when it was on the radio all the time, like it was for me when I was 8 years old. Here's Sammy Davis Jr.'s number one hit this day 53 years ago.
A great 8-year-old song, I feel.
Yes,
like.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I do feel like I've heard this before, actually.
You probably have. But do you think that would really fly today? A grown man saying, "Hey, I got candy for you."
Definitely not. Did you play Candyland while listening to the song?
Yes. Yes, that would be much more appropriate, you know? Let's see. So that was the number one song in 1972. Born this day in 1922, Judy Garland. Born Frances Gum in Grand Rapids, Minnesota, before she went on to become a child star and would play Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz at the tender age of 17. All right, this next musical clip is from TV history, and Parker here was not familiar with this. Dan, I don't know about you. If I mention the series finale of The Sopranos, do you understand the cultural touchstone?
I do.
Okay.
Do.
So yeah. Let's set this up for folks that The Sopranos, this little mob drama series, and the family is in a diner and they're eating and people are coming in and out. And there's a song that he put in on the jukebox. And the last thing you see is Tony Soprano looking up. Here are the last 10 seconds or so of The Sopranos.
I went ahead and ordered something for the table.
Eating and people coming in. The daughter comes running in, I think, at one point. And you're thinking nothing of it. It's like, oh, we're just wrapping things up. Tony looks up. And that's it. That was it. It cut to black. All kinds of people thought there was a technical issue until they realized, no, that's exactly how they wanted the series to end. And Parker's reaction to this yesterday went like this.
I'm sorry, what? I know that I'm missing like however many years of context that the show had, but that's a terrible ending.
What? Well, that's what a lot of people thought. Dan?
All right. I didn't know if it was necessarily reviled or not. Wasn't there a big controversy whether did he die or something?
That's the thing. They wanted you because, again, you see these ominous people. You knew people are always out to get him.
Yeah.
Did the series, in fact, end? Was he like killed in the next moment or was he not? And he just continues to live with the danger of there's always people out there who want to kill him. And the show writers decided not to answer that. You decide what happens next. Choose your warrior.
That's such a
cop path,
out.
You know?
I don't like it.
I kind of like it. I think it should be open-ended because it leaves some room to the imagination. I will say the Seinfeld finale, I love Seinfeld, just did not like it at all. I feel like it would not like the show at all.
That one and How I Met Your Mother were two of the most unsatisfying series finales ever. You know, you've got some masterpieces like MASH and Newhart and some others. Cheers wasn't bad. But then The Sopranos was at least controversial. I don't know that anybody talked about one more than that. So we've got all of that going on. On the National Day calendar, it's National Ballpoint Pen Day.
Ooh.
And it's also Black Cow Day, the beverage. Another term for a root beer float. It is Iced Tea Day and it's Egg Roll Day. Dan, can you hang around a bit? I understand there's a nice little fundraiser that folks are doing that you're talking about up in the Rhinelander area. Are you available?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, you do that, and then we'll do the 7 o'clock news. Then we'll have the Scani Summer Text to Win keyword. All two more hours to go as we get rolling on one of these Tuesday mornings powered by Up North News. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. A deadly school shooting in Austria, city of Graz. 9 people killed, many others injured, and the shooter is also dead, says the city's mayor. Police say they believe the gunman acted alone. President Trump taking credit for sending hundreds of Marines and thousands of National Guard troops to protests of immigration raids in Los Angeles. He says the situation could have gotten worse had he not. State and local law enforcement were enough to control just a couple of blocks of protests, says L.A. Mayor Karen Bass.
We didn't need the National Guard members. They are protecting one building. They're not involved in any crowd control. And now we're going to bring in the military for what?
In solidarity with the L.A. protesters, there were demonstrations last night in Dallas and Austin, Texas. Police used tear gas and detained some, firing every member of a scientific committee that advises the CDC on vaccines. Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. This is ABC News.